first two buttons on the top.
Yeah. Bingo. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I guess here was Greg.
All right. You talking to me?
Yeah. What did
you say? No. We're going to finish Micah chapter 6 in our study.
Test.
Lord willing, and the church don't rise, or we don't have to go to the basement for a bad storm. Did any of you have to hit your basements last night?
No. Maybe technically.
We didn't.
Same. I could see on the map, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
They had that thunder was loud. Sound like cannonballs or something.
Yeah, it scared our puppies pretty good. That was weird. Give me just a moment. We're getting things lined up here.
We're going to be singing 253, I believe.
Yep.
That's right, hymn 253 in the hymn book.
Open now thine arms
singing, page 177. Thy word have I hid in my heart. All four verses.
Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, O way, to guide and to save me from sin, and show me the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might not sin.
Never call on everyone to stand when he sang this. Because that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about standing. He would not get it through his head what the real meaning of the song was, and he'd be the only person standing while we sang the song. We just laughed, you know. Because people could be. Some of the best people, he was one of the best guys you ever knew. And, you know, some of the best people you know could be stupid. Amen?
Yeah.
We still loved him. Hit it!
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God.
Even if you're sitting down, you're standing on the promises of God.
Amen.
All right, now you can be seated.
Thank you. Amen. Thanks.
All right, raise your hand. Janie will bring those prayer cards around. And
evening, everybody.
Onliners. I don't know if Megan is watching, but if she is, hi, Megan.
Hi, Megan. We love you.
Love Megan. I'm praying for her to get better.
Amen. Feel better.
Amen. And onliners can send prayer requests in to bbfohio@protonmail.com, and we'll lift those up to the Lord. Get my app open so I can see them. There they are. Already got a couple lined up. Let's see. Your reminder, silence your cell phone ringers. And where's my cooker? All right, how we sound back there, Johnny? Everything good? I guess everything's good here, too. Camera all zoomed in, ready? All right, that means we're ready to get into Bible study. We are in Micah. We're going to finish chapter 6. With the last verse. That coffee sure is good. You shut that door for me, Mark. Somebody's propped that open on us.
Oh,
or Zane, thank you very much.
Thank you, Zane.
Hi, Zane.
If you hear some tapping or rattling or hammering or whatever, I guess he's still out there. It's a fellow named Rick putting in the air conditioning unit. And we're glad to be able to accommodate whatever he needs to get it in before we get some real heat. That little unit has done a good job of keeping it comfortable, but if it got above 85, you can forget it. So it's done its job, and we're just going to keep that handy. We know somebody might need it here in a few months, but whether they do or not, we'll keep it. And if anybody loses their air conditioning, we can send in the unit to... Yeah. I know there's been times where I lost air conditioning. Someone brought me a window unit around. I was very thankful.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm talking about right there. You hear that? That's not Johnny. That's somebody downstairs.
Jackhammer.
In their councils, we'll pick up after we take a moment for our current events update. So I ask you to not talk over the speaker or video clips and hold your questions and comments to the end. Current events update. Number one, Israel at war. 5/8/24, the date for future reference. This is day 215. As far as I know, last I heard, there's still 133 hostages, at least 36 of which have actually been killed. And they all remain in custody. Their bodies, dead or alive, are being held by Hamas. And Hamas leaders continue to die because... Israel has said that that's what they're going to end the war when they destroy Hamas. They have every right to do that.
Amen.
And they announced today the elimination of Ahmed Ali, the Hamas Naval Forces Commander, which I can't imagine what kind of navy they have. Canoes?
No, garbage scows.
But he's dead. The Rafa operation is now underway. We've been talking about that for weeks and just sitting back and watching to see what happens. And the IDF continues limited Rafa op in shadow of hostage negotiations. Reminder that Hamas has sworn to kill all the Jews. And that's then Israel put up with that. Israel put up with Hamas calling for the death of Jews and all that until October 7th. And when Hamas came in and killed and raped and mutilated a bunch of innocent people, then Israel said, that's it. And I hope they stick to their word on that. Romans 13, 1 to 5, if you wonder what the biblical basis for that is. And the Biden administration runs interference for Hamas again. These are the headlines. IDF strikes Hamas targets in Rafah. U.S. halts arms to Israel. Over here, Austin, U.S. pauses shipment of payload munitions due to concerns over Rafah. Now, a lot of ignorant Americans will say, well, I don't think they should send those arms over there because they're using them to commit genocide. No, they're not. They're using them in war. It's not genocide. And everybody who says so is a liar. But the other thing is this, that makes your country a liar, because the reason why Israel is relying on us for those munitions is because the people who came before Joe Biden told Israel they'd never have to worry about getting them from us. So when you make a deal with an ally, you don't break your word. And if Biden keeps doing this, don't be surprised you find out Israel starts building their own warehouses and producing their own stuff. Now, they already do produce some of their own stuff. But they're responding publicly, saying they're deeply frustrated over U.S. arms shipment pause. Why? Because the United States told them they could count on it. And even though Israel bends over backward in an attempt to avoid civilian casualties, this was Monday, before the Rafah operation began, Israeli forces have begun evacuating the civilian population of Rafah in southern Gaza. So Israel does more than the United States Army, the United States military does. They do more than any of the Jew-hating nations do. They do more than Russia or Ukraine are doing with one another. Why is it not genocide in Ukraine and Russia when civilians die over there? You think about that? Why was it not genocide when about half the population of Berlin, which is way more than there are people in Gaza, civilians in Germany were killed in World War II? Do you know that? You got to read about the rape of Berlin. That's what they call it. The rape of Berlin. That was by Allied forces against the Nazis. Now, why is it that no one's calling that genocide? But when the same thing's going on over there in Israel, it's genocide? You want to know why? The people who say that are Jew haters. It's okay when it's not Jews doing it. But when Jews do it in defense of their country, suddenly there's a problem with it. You know why they're Jew haters? They're Jew haters because they have a satanic spirit.
Amen.
That's why. This is an example. Now, I have to tell you, I'm going to try to read most of the captions. They're speaking the Arabic tongue. But an example of Israeli attempts to evacuate members of the Islamic death cult, which is what it is. It's not a religion. It's a death cult. Muhammad did exactly what they did on October 7th. Just do your history studies. Muhammad did exactly what would Muhammad do, what they did on October 7th. Now, I'm going to read. You read the captions if you can. Some of you can't see it, so I'll try to help out. This is an actual phone call made by Israeli forces urging Palestinians, three families of about 100 people total, urging them to get out. You need to evacuate your family, say, and move away a kilometer.
We are a big family.
He says all of them must leave. Each family has around 20 people. How many families? Three families. Okay. Inform everyone that we'll wait until everyone evacuates. But we don't have much time left. And he's saying, okay, we are far away from the bank. And he's like, he responds, listen to me, this is dangerous. You all need to evacuate the building and move away, half a kilometer. Everyone, including elderly and children. The blast radius will be immense. My dear, I'm unable to evacuate. I'll need a minimum of 2 hours before I can evacuate them all. He's like, brother, we will proceed whether you leave or not. He says, strike us then. Do as you please. That's the Palestinian. And he says, we must do everything to avoid fatality. He says, we want to die. And our children also must die. That's how they respond. Indeed, so we can expose your brutality, using them as a purpose. Your actions will lead to consequences. Don't try to convince me. I won't leave. Go ahead and strike the bank, our homes, any locations. Do what you want. If you wish to spare the children, refrain from striking the bank. Why would you strike the bank in the first place? It's just a bunch of walls. And he's like, it isn't up for me to decide. They're going to strike it, period. I'll let him talk, but that's what he said. We don't want the peace that comes from you. Listen to these words. I'll just quote the Palestinian. He says, the Quran, you know the Quran? You are cursed in the Quran anyway. Do whatever you want, my dear. Everyone wants to die from our side. We love death the way you love life. We don't want the kindness that comes from you. Notify your leaders of the IDF that Abu Yunus refuses to evacuate the building. Do as you please. And he says, well, then I'll let them know. I mean, that's the response that they get when they call and tell people, get out of the way. We don't want to kill civilians. They're purposely dying and sacrificing their own families. And so that then they can use that as propaganda against Israel.
Exactly. I bet you won't see that on the evening news.
Of course not.
There was a screenshot I got, the 218 mark. We love death the way you love life. And I think it was... Prime Minister, what's her name? Meir, the first one? Golda Meir. And she said, there'll be peace when the Arabs love their children as much as they hate us. That's what she said. In the meantime, we can all be thankful for small victories. The Tel Aviv mayor announced the cancellation of the annual Pride Parade. So at least there's that. You won't have a bunch of sodomites walking up and down the street waving their fist at God and performing sex acts right in the streets. That's what they do every year. Right in the streets of Israel. It's on video if you ever would ever want to burn your eyes by looking at that. So we stand with Israel and we'll continue to do so. And number two, real quick, we'll go through a roundup here. A biblical view of things going on. The Democrat Marxist abuse of law almost always comes back to bite them. When you see the Marxists abusing the law in order to punish people they disagree with, just always remember, almost every time, it eventually comes back around. Here's an example. This guy, New York State Senator Kevin Parker, worked to pass the Adult Survivors Act, which allowed E. Jean Carroll to go after Trump with accusations from 30 years ago, by the way, now says the law is unconstitutional after a rape lawsuit was filed against him.
Love it.
Wow.
Now, is he guilty? I don't know. But the rape accusation is decades old. And listen, no one, I'm telling you, no one hates rape and child molestation and child abuse like me. But you're getting in dangerous territory when you are taking things that happened decades ago with no evidence, and all you do is parade the crying witness in front of the jury. Because there's going to be, on Judgment Day, a lot of people who are innocent and thrown in prison. I want the guilty. I want to get them. And if, especially if you can get DNA evidence, man, nail them. And I'm a little more harsh on these people than probably most of you are. You know, if they can prove it, then I believe in capital punishment for that. Violent rape, repeated rape, child molestation, absolutely. But this is crazy. So it's coming back again. And he was all so happy about it before it came to bite him. This headline from the Democrat Marxist fake news organization called NPR. This is just a flat out lie. It's news. Violent crime is dropping. That part's false. But Americans feel less safe. That part's true. You know why Americans are feeling less safe? Because Americans know that the violent crime rate is not dropping. Yeah. We're not that stupid. Yeah. We can see what's happening before our eyes. There's a very simple explanation as to why you're seeing headlines in these Democrat news organizations and Never Trump Republican news stations. They're all supporting Biden because they're not real news stations. And the reason why they're telling you violent crime is coming down is because it's a big fat lie. Cities nationwide are not reporting. This is according to News Nation, or what's it called? News Nation. And this was News Nation Now program. That's another non-conservative medium to left. Everybody on that station is medium to left. They'll tell you right there, 40% didn't report the crime.
There you go.
Now think about that. You're going to put out a news report saying that crime has dropped based on statistics that are not even in any way, shape, or form representative of reality when 40% aren't even reporting. Oh, it's too bad the IRS doesn't operate like that. You know, 40% of us not pay our taxes. What do you think would happen then? It would come with armed SWAT teams after you. But the FBI has 40% of the cities not reporting their crime because they know it's probably a 200% hike. And they know if the truth gets out, there ain't no way you reelect the bum that's behind it. The George Soros, Rockefeller Foundation leftists who are putting DAs in who won't even prosecute criminals. That's why your crime rate is going up. And it's all in places with the most strict gun control. That's where the crime is worse. And that's happens to be the places that aren't reporting their statistics. New York Post. The FBI's latest statistics show violent crime dropped in the U.S. last year. But the data fails to account for thousands of places, including big cities like New York and Los Angeles, where it's the worst. Bottom paragraph. Nearly 40% of all law enforcement agencies, including in the nation's two largest cities, failed to submit any data to the feds. Folks, this is Marxism. This is communism. This is what happens when the Marxists take over your government agencies. They lie and they lie. Liberals lie. It's just what they do. And that's liberals in the Democrat Party, progressives in the Republican Party, all the leftists. They lie. They are of their father, the devil. John 8:44, according to Jesus Christ. Be informed, pray, and act accordingly. Any comments, questions before we move on? Anybody? Yes, Mark?
I guess the like I said, the letters of liberals say, oh, lazy, ignorant, bird brains excel ridiculously at lying. I've said this for the last 10 years.
Whose hand is over here? Yeah.
Off topic. I was watching Newsmax, and they were having different things on there, and they have now changed the name that used to be for the scouts, since they're letting gays in and girls and all that kind of stuff. Now they're calling it Sporting America.
Scouting. Yeah, I posted
Scouting
that.
Scouting America.
I posted that on MeWe yesterday.
Yeah.
And if you're on MeWe, go read some of the comments. But the Boy Scouts are now Scouting America, and it's so that they can let the child molesters in. And so the amount of Boy Scouts being molested has already gone up, and it's going to go up even further.
Yeah.
You talk to an honest liberal or homosexual, and they'll admit to you that there is a crossover. There's gay, and then there's child molesters, and there's a crossover. And when you do the statistics, a large portion are homosexual child molesters. And I'm not even talking about the priests.
Yep.
And they're offering basically our young men as sacrifices.
Yep.
John?
Yeah. As far as what you said about Israel making their own ammunition, Kennedy, before he was shot, found out that Israel was making their own atomic bombs back in 1963. And Israel refused to let them see what they were doing.
That's been going on ever since. Everybody knows Israel has nukes, but they won't admit it. Do you blame them?
No, I don't either. I wouldn't tell anybody either.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not after what Adolf and friends tried to do to them in the 1940s.
No,
all bets are off after that. Never again, never again. Amen, amen. That's why we'll stand with the Jews and we'll stand with Israel, even if we're the last 20 or 30 people on the planet who do so, other than the Jews themselves. We will continue to stand with them. We will not
Amen.
Support what's going on with this Jew hatred and all that, and all the propaganda. Amen. All right, well, let's go into our study with a word of prayer, and we'll get into the book of Micah, chapter 6. Brother Dan, would you open the Bible study prayer?
Amen.
All right, we're going to be in Micah 6:16. We complete our study of Micah 6, picking up with the final verse, which is pinpointing Israel's fall about this time. This is speaking of the captivity, Israel, the northern kingdom, going into Assyria, but later Babylon will take the southern kingdom in. And ye walk in their counsels. I want you to get that in your mind as we go forward. And we ran up against the clock and left off with the final verse of Micah 6. So that's all we're going to read tonight. If you're there, read verse 16 with me. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof, and hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Amen.
Amen.
So, Micah points to the crux of the issue in this last verse, and so we'll see the cause of apostasy here in this verse, and then we'll just have some closing thoughts. But the cause of apostasy here in verse 16 starts by saying, for the statutes of Omri are kept. Now, we're going to show you how to do a little Bible study tonight. When you read something, you have to ask yourself, okay, it's talking about somebody. Omri. Does anybody know who Omri is? So make a note of this, because if you're going to understand the Old Testament and you read it, this is a very important character to get to know, because Omri was a very wicked king.
And we'll see as we go on. But when Omri was king, biblical truth is out, false religion is in, and that's where you live today. Today, you walk out the doors and go out into the world, you'll find very few people have any authority for anything they believe. Everybody just makes up crap.
Yep.
Just make it up. What do you think? I don't care what you think. No offense. I don't care what I think. I'm just a human being. I don't care how smart a guy is. He can still be very foolish. It doesn't... Who matters when it comes to things of religion, as it's called? Things of God. Who matters?
God.
God. Jesus. That's the only people... God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three in one. He's the only one that matters. And yet, when you, if you walk down the street right now and talk to everybody and you said, well, what do you think about heaven? Oh, I think heaven is a place where we all just kind of become part of the universe and become one. No, that's pantheism and it's ridiculous. Okay, what do you think about hell? Well, I don't really believe in hell. I think this hell on is here on this earth. And we suffer as much hell here as we're ever going to suffer. Okay, but then you think Jesus Christ was a liar. Amen?
Yeah.
See how dumb that is? And you'll hear people say it all the time. I remember before I became a Christian, I've told these stories from time to time. I'm sitting around with a bunch of guys drinking beer, you know. You'd be, maybe if you experienced it, you wouldn't be, but you might be surprised to know how many times a bunch of guys sitting around drinking beer start talking about God and start talking about heaven and start talking about the end times and prophecy. Happened all the time. I've sat in bars and AC/DC is playing in the background, you know. I'm on a highway to, you know, screaming, screeching and everything. And we're sitting around drinking beer. Boy, you seen the news lately? Looks like the Lord might be coming back soon.
Got the beer goggles on.
The other guy's like, wait a minute, you a Christian?
Well, I'm not a very good one, but I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm a believer.
And so then that's how it starts. But most of the conversation is, I just think... Well, you know, it's my opinion, but, you know, I just think, you know, it's not a Bible study. But, folks, that's what it ought to be, a Bible study. This book was written by God. Please stand up if you're smarter than God here tonight.
Should we go in the basement?
Well, if you're not smarter than God, then what is your authority?
The Bible.
Which is God's word. But it's just insane when you go out and talk to people. Mm-hmm. So what were the statutes of Omri? Well, let's do a little Bible study. If you look it up, I use Blue Letter Bible as my example because I know some of you use that. And make sure it's looking up the KJV. And you put in Omri. And so you start looking up these references that it gives you. That tells you right there where to look it up in your Bible. There's a list. And you start reading those. And you start thinking about what they say. And then, really, this one is kind of one of those easy ones. Because when you look up Omri, O-M-R-I, it goes right to where we want to see the statutes of Omri. 1 Kings 16. And in this case, we immediately see an important clue about the statutes of Omri, which is producing all this bad stuff that Micah's talking about. Go to 1 Kings if you're not there already. 1 Kings 16. And keep your finger in Micah, but we're going to come back to it. But we're going to be in 1 Kings. Look up three or four references back there. 1 Kings chapter 16. Beginning of verse 23. In the 30 and first year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. Why does it say that? Israel is the north. Judah is the south. So all the time when they say one king began to reign, it'll tell you what year of the other king it is. And that's kind of giving you a calendar. And you can find charts. We've got one on our website. We rechart it and we show you then certain kings were alive at the same time. Contemporary with is how they say it. Well, Omri was contemporary with Asa. How many of you know Asa? Asa was my first Shih Tzu puppy.
Yes, adorable.
He was a good king. And he walked like one. If any of you ever saw him, you know what I mean. But Asa was named after King Asa in the Bible. And this Asa lived a really good, God-fearing life. He ruled well right up to the very end. And at the end, he didn't end well. He didn't totally go into apostasy. He just got cantankerous and rebellious. And he got a disease in his feet, and he wouldn't even go to God with it. Like he was just stubborn. But that's, if you're familiar with Asa, then you know that's when Omri began to reign in the north. Asa's in the south. He's king in the south. Look at verse, it continues, says, Omri reigned 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And then look at what happens, verse 24 of 16. Some of you are going to recognize this. And he bought the hill, what?
Samaria.
How many of you heard the story of the Good Samaritan? That's where this story gets its beginning. The Samaritan lived here. But what happened here was Omri and others after him have a whole different religion and they have a whole different culture and they intermix with pagan cultures and pagan people and everything. And that's how the Samaritans then become a people. And then you have the division between the Jews and the Samaritans that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when Jesus comes. So this is history. It's telling you how did things get the way they were when Jesus showed up. And so Omri bought that hill and tells you the whole exchange here. He bought of Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. So there, Samaria is now a city. Samaria becomes the capital of the north, and they will eventually become known as
Samaritans.
There you go. Now, here's the big problem. Read verse 25 with me. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. That's pretty bad. If you know about the kings before Omri, for the Holy Spirit to tell us here that he was worse than the ones that were before him, that's really bad.
Did God tell the Jews not to get married to other Gentiles?
To anyone who wasn't a believer in Jehovah God, yes. Now, if they were, they could. You know, Rahab did. You know, Rahab wasn't a Jewess. They're called proselytes in Acts. At the day of Pentecost, you'll see proselytes there, and that's who they are. In this case, the Jews would receive a Samaritan only if they would recant and repent and join back with the true religion and the Jews in the south. That's how it works. Now, what was the way of Jeroboam? We're in back to Blue Letter Bible, and we read, because in our text, remember what you saw in the text, it says, for the statutes of Omri are kept, and then you go back here and you see that Omri, I didn't read the last verse, did I? No, we're going to see it. Verse 26. Did I have that up there? I did, I just didn't read it. Go back, are you still there? Look at verse 26 now. Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, verse 25, did worse than all that were before him, worse than even Jeroboam. But look what it says, verse 26. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin.
and to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanity. So Omri is following in the wrong footsteps. He's following in the footsteps of Jeroboam instead of the word of God and the prophets. It's kind of like you have sincere people who say they believe in God, but they choose to walk after the Mormons and Brigham Young and Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
And then you have people who choose to walk after some really crazy cult leaders like David Koresh and Jim Jones and that sort of thing. They may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And it's disastrous. Omri chose to follow in the footsteps of Jeroboam. It was disastrous. So what was the way of Jeroboam? Well, you go back to Blue Letter Bible and put in the word Jeroboam. Spell it right. That's important. Jeroboam, and you'll see the list come up, and the first number of references are in 1 Kings 11 and 12. So you turn over to 1 Kings, because we're going back in time. You'll go to the left in your Bible. And you go back to 1 Kings 12, beginning of verse 26, and you're told what Omri did because he walked in the ways of Jeroboam. What's it say about Jeroboam? Verse 26, and Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David." Verse 27, "If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Now think of this. Jeroboam was handpicked by God when he split the kingdom. And he promised Jeroboam that if you walk in my ways, you'll live a good long life and your sons will be on your throne. This is unbelief. Jeroboam simply doesn't believe God's word. And he starts saying, wait a minute. If all these people go down to the temple in Jerusalem, they'll decide to stay with David's throne and Rehoboam, and I'll lose my kingdom. After God has promised them he wouldn't lose his kingdom. So what did he do? He made up his own religion, like most Americans. Look at verse 28. "Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold." Aren't you glad when you pray to your God, he doesn't go, "Muh." They're worshiping cows. Now, I love cows, milk and steak and all that, but I'm not going to worship them. "And said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods." Just like Aaron, you know, back when Moses was up on the hill and Aaron made, all he did was throw some gold in there and out came this calf. He says the same thing. "Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." What a slap in the face to God. God, Jehovah, brought them out. And said, "No, it was these cow gods that did it." Mm. I guess that would be their praise and worship song. Moo. Verse 29:30 says, "And he set the one in Bethel." That's the northern, or let me see. Yeah, the other he put in Dan. So it's Dan, I believe, is the northern part. Yeah, Bethel would have been the south. So he's covering all bases. He's giving them. He's got two big churches, mega churches. Verse 30, "And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests," look at this, "of the lowest of the people." I hate to tell you, but that describes most of the so-called priests in churches today. That's why so many of them end up in prison. Because there's no priesthood today. We're not supposed to have priests. So just like Jeroboam, any religion that has a priest, it's a made-up religion. It's not true religion. Which were not of the sons of Levi. Those are the only people who are supposed to be priests, sons of Levi. Then 32 says, "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he'd made." Verse 33, now read that with me. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Highlight or underline those words. He had devised of his own heart. One of the dumbest things you can ever tell somebody is, follow your heart. Your heart's wicked.
Amen.
Fill your heart with the Word of God. Pray and follow God. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the ditch. And whoever is telling you to follow your heart, they're the blind leading the blind if you follow them. So there you go. Omri was following the made-up religion of Jeroboam. And it says, in all the works of the house of Ahab. Back in our text in Micah. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house, all the works of the house of Ahab. That's not good. It's not like they just did some of the bad things the house of Ahab did. So holy living is out. They're having their gay parades. Everybody's pride all month of June. There's pride. When the Bible says pride goeth before destruction. And America gives God the bird and says, we're proud of our sin. And we're going to march through the streets for an entire month. F you, God. That's what America is saying to your God right now. And God's going to kill them all if they don't repent.
Amen.
Mark it down. Bunch of cocky, arrogant fools.
Amen.
Sodom is sin. Love is love. It's not love, it's lust.
Right.
God is love, and he gets to define it.
Right.
And God says that two men or two women is not love.
Right.
So if you say otherwise, you think you're smarter than God. You should have stood up when I gave you the chance. Who ran the house of Ahab? Here we go.
Jezebel.
A woman who runs the house, if there's no man around, is doing the right thing. A woman who runs the house when the man won't run the house is doing the right thing. But when a woman is married and a man wants to be the leader and show leadership, and she still runs the house, that's Jezebel. There have been times where women had to step up and be queen because all the men were a bunch of wusses. A bunch of useless, spineless cowards. So, Deborah had to step up in the book of Judges. Remember that? But when there is a man, when there are men, the good women won't try to run things. You see how that works? When there are good men who want to lead and want to provide that kind of leadership, good women, they become the old saying, behind every good man is a great woman or a strong woman. I got me one. I wouldn't be able to do what I do without her.
Amen.
But one of the reasons we get things done is because she's not always tripping me or trying to get in front of me. But I'll tell you this, if you got a good woman and she's a godly, Bible-believing woman, you better listen. Because she'll give you good counsel. And if you don't listen, you're going to miss out on some good counsel.
Amen.
Doesn't mean I always do everything her opinion, you know. But I always listen. And that's the way it's supposed to work. And if it worked that way, it's fine. But Jezebel steps in and she just runs things. In her case, not a defense, but Ahab was this just a limp-wristed little, you know. So it was easy for her to step up. Look at 1 Kings 21:25. 1 Kings 21:25. If you're there, read that. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. See that?
Amen.
That's no excuse, but it's telling you. Ahab was as bad as he was because his wife was so bad. And she was such a bad influence on him. She stirred that up in him. You know, there are a lot of people who do a lot worse than they otherwise would because of their mothers. I know a lot of young men whose mothers are the reason they got as bad as they did, because they are enabling them. They never say no. They never try to stop them. They're always making excuses for them, covering up their sin, stirring it up. That's what Jezebel did with Ahab. What sort of works did Jezebel stir up? I'm glad you asked. 18. Go back. 18. 1 Kings 18. And the first four verses. I'll start reading while you turn there. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in where? Remember where that started? And Ahab called Obadiah. Now, this isn't the prophet, it's another Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Meaning he governed, he was like the chief of staff in our government today, is what he would, that's where he, the role he would play. He was chief of staff for Ahab. But here's the thing. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. So that's pretty interesting, huh? But what happened? Read verse 4 with me. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Jezebel is slaughtering the prophets. And most of these fall under the sons of the prophets, and they would actually were in schools. The schools of the prophets, with the potential of maybe becoming a prophet. And Jezebel was killing them. That's pretty wicked. That's worse than Hillary. It's true. 2 Kings 9. Go over there real quick. 2 Kings 9, 7 through 10. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master. Why? Read 7 with me. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. God finally going to take her out, and he's avenging the blood of the prophets that he had killed. Verse 8. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. There's only two sexes. One of them pisses against the wall, the other can't.
Right.
And him that is shut up and left in Israel. Verse 9, and I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. What did he do? He had killed Jeroboam, and he'd wiped out Jeroboam's whole house. And like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, read verse 10 with me. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. And guess what happened? Jezebel died, and the dogs licked up the blood. Jezebel was so evil that she's a symbol of wicked female false teachers, all the way to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Go back there and look. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2:20. This is in the letter to the church at Thyatira. We'll read 20 to 22, but read 20 with me if you're there. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, obviously, this isn't the same Jezebel we've been reading about.
Yeah.
He's using the word Jezebel to describe women who usurp authority that doesn't belong to them and teach falsely, and it usually goes to sex. And you look at these false teachers, the women today, so many of them are getting into issues of sex and compromising, or like a lot of them, they just won't touch it. They won't preach against sexual sin because they got a lot of perverts in their crowds who are giving them money. See? They want to chase off all the perverts because they lose their money. Yeah. Verse 20, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, sex. And she repented not. Verse 22, read that. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Sex again. That is what is being referred to when we read in Micah 6:16 when it says, and ye, talking about his own people in Israel, ye walk in their counsels. What counsels? Everything we've just been reading for the last 20 minutes or so. That's exactly what he's talking about.
Amen.
And that's how you can study your Bible on your own and go and see these things for yourself and learn a lot. God's word is out. Man-made belief is in. Now, what's that mean to you and I today? Here's a few examples. Corrupt Bibles. They water them down, change them so that they'll be more palatable to the carnal, fleshly mind. That's what it's all about. And they can make money off of you. They'll get you to buy, oh, I got an NIV, but I need an ESV. I want to be able to compare the two. Then I want to get a Living Bible or a Message or something that's a paraphrase. And then when I got all those, I might as well get another one that has all of them under one cover. And so I buy one of those parallel Bibles. And then, oh, but then they got this thing called the Amplified. Oh, that'd be neat. And then they got a Bible, it doesn't matter what translation, for women. And oh, I'm a dog owner, so they get a Bible, an NIV for dog owners. And then it goes on and on and on. And if you're in the military, they got military Bibles. And then after a while, they came out with not just a military Bible, but they got one for the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, and probably Space Force now. And it's all just to sucker people into buying bad, corrupt Bibles that they can make a lot of money off of. And the NIV, every 10, 15 years, they come out with a revised edition. The Southern Baptists came out with a Holman Christian Standard Bible. So, 100,000 churches filled their pews with hardbacks, and all their people were buying them. And then about 10 or 15 minutes, years, I almost said minutes, years later, they came out with they dropped Holman, and now it's Christian Standard Bible with some updates and such. So then they threw all those away, filled up their pews again, and all the good Southern Baptists went out and bought the CSB to replace the HCSB. Think of the millions of dollars they raked in on that scam.
Amen.
That's what it's all about, the love of money. Psychobabble. Oh, you've got ADHD. And you've got the PhD tells you you have ADHD, so you go on meds. And I can't keep up with all these phobias and all these diagnoses. And so from the time you're about 5 years old, they can put you on Ritalin. And that screws your mind up, so the rest of your life you're not sure what really is going on, and you're just willing to take anything to make you try to feel normal. It never makes you feel normal, so you try this one for a while, wean off that, try that one for a while, and then most of the people end up going on the street and buying what they're selling. If you wonder why fentanyl is killing so many people, it starts in the schools with Ritalin. About 1 to 10% of the people taking that stuff need it. The other 90 to 99% don't, but they are sheeple. They are little chattel that they can make billions off of. That's all those people mean to the big pharma. I believe in modern medicine. I just don't believe in abuse.
Amen.
That's what's going on in churches. You go to Xenos, and that's what they tell you. You need psychotherapy, and then probably need to be on drugs the rest of your life. And if you don't know that, you don't know people who go there.
That's true.
But that's just one of many denominations who are doing that to their people. God's word is powerless. Why? Because they don't have God's word. They have corrupt Bibles. And the Holy Spirit doesn't work anymore. Why? Because a lot of them aren't even saved. But the ones who are believers, they're so screwed up that the Holy Spirit is grieved and hindered. in their lives. How did Christians get by for 1950 years without all that dope and the tens of thousands of psychotherapists? How did they do it? Pseudo-scholarship. It's another man-made, just making stuff up. The agape phileo love thing and the eye of the needle. We've talked about that. And I mean, I go on and on with all the garbage nonsense so-called scholarship that everybody gets all hung up on. It's nonsense. And sodomite morality. Telling people they can find fulfillment in some wicked same-sex relationship which robs them of parenthood. And if they do have kids, a lot of times it's not really their kids. They have the in vitro thing with somebody else doing it for them. And then they try to adopt the kid. They don't have a natural affection to begin with. They end up either abusing the kid, neglecting the kid, or dumping the kid, or killing the kid. So on and so forth. I could go on and on about that. But I want to look at 2 Timothy 4, New Testament. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. We're exactly where they were in Micah 6. Yeah. Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, prophesied. And he said, beginning in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Not all that other crap. Preach the word. Be instant in season when it's popular, out of season when it's not popular. We're in the out of season. And I'm going to, and I hope you're with me, going to keep preaching it. Amen. Don't care how out of season it gets. Amen. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Read 3 and 4 with me. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Welcome. You're there now. And they want teachers to say it's okay to be gay. It's okay to kill that baby if you don't want it. It's going to hurt your lifestyle, cramp your style, you know. Hurt your party lifestyle, or maybe cost you some money. Just kill it. I showed you Sunday that preachers, so-called, are doing it. That's what they're telling their people. And they're blessing same-sex marriages among Catholic churches now. The United Methodists are now going to start doing them. The Evangelical Lutheran and the Presbyterian Church USA have been there for 10 years at least doing them. And they have those people as pastors. So what do you think they're going to teach? All about lusts. And then you have the word faith Pentecostal. Lusts, that's right up there with greed. They lust after things and money and wealth, and that's all their preachers ever talk about, is money. It just pick your poison, really what it comes down to now. In response, a holy God of truth can only react in one way. Back in our text, read it. You'll see it there, verse 16, that I should make thee a desolation and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Meaning Israel is going to reach bottom of the barrel. It's going to get as bad as it's ever been. And it happened. In the north it happened in 707 B.C. We're not going to take time to read it, but you can write down the reference in 2 Kings 15, 27 to 29. And God allowed Assyria to come through there and just destroy the northern kingdom. Tiglath-Pileser. And so forth. And then we close in verse 16 with these words. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. You see, God judges all sin. But when you call yourself after His name, and then you totally misrepresent that and live like the devil and bring reproach to His name, you had better watch out. He is not going to put up with that. And so these people, James said, Let not many of us be masters, for we will receive the greater condemnation. These fake preachers are going to the hottest parts of hell after they die.
Amen.
God is not going to put up with what they're doing. They think they're getting by with it. I've talked to a bunch of arrogant jackasses. You can't talk to them. Quote scripture all you want, that doesn't mean anything to them. Be as nice as you want, doesn't matter. And the world will know that God doesn't put up with such rebellion, even from His own people. One of these days, He'll settle the accounts. And this is my closing thought, is Psalm 1. If you want to turn there, we'll close there. Psalm 1. 6 verses. I'm going to have you read the even with me. Listen closely. Listen closely to the words as you read this. I'll read the first verse and you join in the even. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. If you just want to see that sometime, go out on a field that's full of dust or leaves or something, and when a good wind comes and blows it all away, that's what it's saying. That's the ungodly. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And we offer to the world, all you have to do is repent. Repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you. He has shed His blood in death on the cross. And when He died, He paid for all sin. But it is only appropriated to those who will come to Him and receive it by faith. He rose from the dead. He's not a dead Savior. He's a risen Savior. Amen. He's conquered sin and death. And if you will turn to Him, trusting in what He did on the cross to pay for your sins, believing on His resurrection, knowing He's going to raise you from the dead one day, you're saved. At that very moment, you're saved. You don't have to do no works, not of works, lest any man should boast. You work after that because you're saved, not to be saved. At that moment, you receive eternal life. What a thing that we offer to the world. And what a thing to see most people today totally reject it. But it doesn't have to be true about anybody in this room, anybody watching online. It doesn't have to be true of anybody. Jesus will save anyone who will come to Him. Amen? So even as our own nation goes to hell, we must remain faithful and lead those who will follow to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our main mission in this life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word and what You've taught us. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who helps us understand. We thank You for the fellowship of the saints and to have people come together desiring to learn Your Word and desiring to live a life that is pleasing to You, and that might be something You could use to bring others to salvation as we preach the gospel. Lord, may You find us faithful for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand if you can and let's sing. Give me a second here. We get tied up. He is Lord, and then we're going to sing What a Day That Will Be.
Every tongue. leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
If you say amen, you can sit down.
Amen.
All right. Raise your hand if you have a prayer card. Janie will collect those, and the onliners rest assured we will look yours up online at bbfohioprotonmail.com. Let's say goodbye to the onliners on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.